Welcome, everyone, and good morning to Prairie Unitarian Society. My name is Melinda Gustafson-Travassi, and I am a member here. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or by our minister, Reverend Sandra Ingram. Today, Paul Rusk, the director of the Alzheimer and Dementia Alliance, will be presenting. And now we will light our chalice with the assistance of Dean and Orange.
Every day brings struggle. Every day brings joy. Every day brings us the opportunity to ease the struggle of another, to be the joy in another's life. May this flame remind us to carry our light to each other and to the world.
All right, so we are now at the point of the presentation segment of today's service. And as I said, it's my pleasure to introduce to you Paul Rusk, who is the current director of the Alzheimer and Dementia Alliance, and he has held that position since November of 1998. I'll give you a little bit of background on Paul, and then I'll turn the podium over to him. Under his leadership, the organization has tripled both its staff and budget and has added two regional offices, one in Lancaster and the other in Portage. The organization has significantly expanded its quality programming in both urban and rural areas of central Wisconsin. Paul holds a bachelor's degree in agriculture from UW-Madison and a master's degree in social service administration from the La Follette Institute of Public Affairs here at the UW. He previously served as the clerk of the Senate Education Committee and now serves as the Dane County Board of Supervisors, representing the 12th District on Madison's north side. So Paul, welcome.
Melinda, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to talk a little bit about Alzheimer's and dementia. It's going to be a little bit educational, but my main message is that although this disease is very, very devastating, that does not mean that life comes to an end. And many, many people are able to have a fairly high quality of life through the disease process, and that's what we're all about at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance. We really want to assist every single family that's impacted by this disease, and let's see if I can move the slide forward. Let's see, I hit down, right?
Yeah. Why don't you tell me when you want it?
Oh, okay. I sort of jinxed the technology. It's your folks did a really good job with setting it all up, but this is kind of typical. But so
I'm hitting the down arrow. It's not going.
Page down.
There we go. Okay. The statistics in this area are not good. We have over 5.3 million Americans in the United States that are impacted. The baby boom generation, which I'm a member of, many of you got started after World War II and had a lot of children. Well, you did a very good job having children, and as you can see, the statistics, it could double by 2030, and right here in Wisconsin, we have over 100,000, in Dane County, about 9,000. Next slide. And this young baby here, if she's born recently, she has a life expectancy of 100 years. We've done such a great job that she will likely live to 100. Unfortunately, in the Alzheimer's area, if we don't come up with a cure soon, half of the young babies born today will come down with some form of dementia. Next slide, please. Dementia is a medical term. It's the broad term that all forms of memory loss fall under the term dementia, with Alzheimer's disease being the most common at about 60%. Melinda? And the key thing here is that coming down with any form of memory loss is not a normal thing. It really, really is a disease. Years ago, we used to say grandma, grandpa has hardening of the arteries or what have you. We don't say that anymore. It truly is a disease, and it's a disease that can be treated. Melinda? And here are kind of a way to sort of help tell the difference between dementia and normal aging. As we get older, it takes longer for us sometimes to recall a name. It may take longer for us, let's say we're a great cook and we've been following complicated recipes for many, many years. Well, as we get older, we might want to look at the recipe a little bit more carefully and prepare a little bit in advance. That's normal aging. An accountants are usually very good with numbers. If you can balance that checkbook to the penny, as you get older, it may take you a little bit longer. But if you reach the point where you're not able to balance your checkbook and you're an accountant, then that's a change from baseline, and that's something to be concerned about. Melinda? And it's very, very important to get an early diagnosis. Go to the next slide, too. And the reason for the early diagnosis is there actually are four medications on the market that slow the progression of the disease, but they work best in the early stages. And that is our huge frustration at the Alzheimer's and Dementia Alliance, is that we're not able to get more people to go in sooner so that they can get on the medications and actually slow the progression. In some cases, the dementia is caused by something else. And here's a whole list of various things that cause memory loss. Depression is one of the largest ones. Sometimes it's nutritional deficiencies. It can be, we had one, they had a tumor on the pituitary gland. And they dealt with the dementia for a couple years. And finally they went in, the doctor diagnosed the tumor, they got rid of the tumor, and the dementia went away. So, next slide, please. Here is a list of all the different kinds of dementia. Alzheimer's disease, as I mentioned, is the most common. We have five or six additional forms of dementia. Often it's mixed, where you have some Alzheimer's, some Lewy body, we have memory clinics in the Madison area and all over Wisconsin that are affiliated with the University of Wisconsin. There are over 30 of them, and they do a very excellent job of diagnosis. Next slide. The disease itself is, it's progressive, and it's a generative brain disease. Typically, you can see here the plaques and tangles are located in the brain. Go ahead. Here's a healthy brain and a not healthy brain. Go ahead. And these are the various risk factors. Age being the key one. Family history is very important. But it's critical to understand that just because your parent came down with Alzheimer's disease, that does not necessarily mean that you are going to come down with Alzheimer's disease. Your risk is greater, but we know from studies among identical twins with the exact same genetic makeup, a lot of it comes from Sweden, and you will have two twins, and they're exactly the same. And one of the twins might come down with dementia at age 75. The other one might not get it at all. Or the other one might get it at 85 or 90. Even though genetics plays a very important role, There are other things that also have a big impact on this. Head trauma is one of the newer ones that we're very, very concerned about. We have a golf event every year, and this year Pat Richter, the former athletic director, was our special guest. And he spoke for about 30 minutes on football players that he knows that are all coming down with dementia because of that repeated head trauma. So that's not good. There also is likely some sort of a connection between heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure. You want to avoid all three of those and, manage your numbers. And Down syndrome, folks with Down syndrome have a real high chance of eventually coming down with Alzheimer's. Melinda? This is what you can do to keep your brain healthy. Our grandparents told us to eat your vegetables. That is very, very important. Fruits, vegetables, a diet that is low fat is generally very, very important. We know that it's critically important with heart disease. It isn't primarily proven quite yet with dementia, but they're getting very close. Exercise is probably the most important one on this entire screen. There's more and more evidence that regular exercise, you don't have to become a long distance runner. Just regular walking, 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes, 4 or 5 times a week. That regularness about exercise probably makes a huge difference in whether or not you'll come down with some form of dementia, or you can head it off until you're quite a bit older. The manage health concerns, that's critical. I mentioned that, but I'll say it twice. The cholesterol screen, the high blood pressure, diabetes. If you can avoid all three of those conditions, it's very good for your brain. It's important to maintain activity, and coming here on Sundays is part of that. You want to challenge your brain. You want to stay socially active. It's not only the mental aspect of things that you do, but also socially, whether you play cards or you dance or whatever you do. That's very important, as well as keeping a purpose in life. Melinda? Okay. And this is a new slide. After meeting with Melinda, we added this one. We're calling it Lifetime Habits Matter. And we are getting increasingly concerned about children who are not getting adequate exercise. Childhood obesity is really a very serious problem in this country. And so we're putting that down as you want to start when kids are really, really young to have regular exercise. Another interesting thing comes out of the Nun study. This is several hundred nuns who got started with Dr. Snowden about 15 or 20 years ago. And when they entered the nunnery around 1915, 1920, 1925, they all did biographical statements. And they wrote a biographical statement that's in their file. And if you analyze the biographical statements years later, those that had, they call it linguistic density, complex writing with, I was born in the middle of a snowstorm in northern Minnesota, and they couldn't hardly get me to get the midwife in or whatever, versus I was born in Minnesota. The complicated folks, 50, 60, 70 years later, had a much lower incidence of coming down with dementia. And so we say, read to your kids. Read to your grandchildren. That's very, very important when they're first born, because you can have an impact on that linguistic density And we think that it reduces dementia later in life. Those nuns, by the way, are throwing the research kind of for a loop because they donate their brains to science when they pass on. And several of them, when they do the analysis of the brain, their brains are filled with the plaques and tangles that are the signs, and you would say they had Alzheimer's disease, but they didn't have any symptoms. So this getting master's degrees in their 50s and 60s and this lifetime learning and learning how to use technology and you know, taking up French when you're 75, all of those things seem to have an impact. So next slide. Okay. I've talked a little bit about research. We work real closely with the federally funded Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW-Madison. Our big role right now is they have a tremendous shortage of African-American folks participating in research and dementia research. So we have Charlie Daniel on our staff, who retired from state government. She's in her 70s. She works half-time in Dane County and Beloit, and she's doing a presentation similar to this at an African-American church this morning. So we're out trying to get people that are African-American to be involved in research, and we're also looking for people who have dementia in their families to be involved in research. And they're wonderful people over at the UW. They're brilliant. They're very, very smart. They're not so good at the community education. And it's like, woof, over your head. So we try and fill in for them. So we put this slide up for that, Melinda. And this is a listing of the kinds of things that we do. We were part of the Alzheimer's Association for over 25 years, and we had to disaffiliate. We had a big dispute over money, and we wanted to do all of this kind of stuff. This is what really, really matters. We talked to about 1,700 people a year on the phone. We call those helpline calls. And what we do is I'm surrounded, we're mostly social workers, but extremely committed and smart people that sit down with you and do an individual plan for that particular family. And we call those care consultations. A lot of times there's stress in the family. You'll have the siblings, three or four siblings, and there'll be not agreement on what's going on with mom or dad. And if you bring in an outside party, such as one of my social workers, we can help mediate and figure out what the best plan would be. And then as the disease progresses, the plan changes. And so that's kind of our key thing. We like to say we're your partner along the journey. Another area of emphasis is education and training for caregivers and professionals. If you understand the disease, you can do a much better job. And what often happens is family members, they think that their loved one is just trying to be difficult. Or, you know, he's always been that way and he's just trying to irritate me and, you know, whatever. And it isn't that. It's the disease has taken over. Parts of the brain are being impacted. You have to completely shift how you do communication. And so if we can get people to attend our educational programs, we go into great depth about all of that, and then you can do a much better job as a caregiver. We also do professional training. We find that the care in facilities isn't that good. There's a severe, we call it person-centered care. You have to understand all about Mrs. Jones. If Mrs. Jones grew up on a farm and she was up at 5 in the morning and made sure that the cows got milked and they had a full and complete breakfast at 7 a.m. and you need to, as Mrs. Jones goes into a facility and the Alzheimer's disease takes over, she reverts back to how it was 75, 80 years ago. And if you're not able to replicate that, and if you decide that Mrs. Jones is gonna have a full breakfast at 9:30 or 10 in the morning when she's used to eating much earlier than that, she's not gonna like it and you're gonna have problems. So we call it person-centered care, and we have an 8-page document. It's biographical. We wanna know all about Mrs. Jones so that the care plan at the facility can replicate that and she can be much happier. We have a lot of different support groups that we operate. All of our support groups have professional backup. We have a lot of non-professional people that are support group facilitators, but unusual things happen at those support groups. So we have them check in the day after the support group so that we can help out with what any might have come up. And we have a lot of programs for people with early memory loss. So go to the next slide. And this is what's really cutting edge about what we do here in Dane County. In the early years when I worked for this organization, we primarily helped caregivers, and we didn't see people with dementia until much later in the disease process. And that has flipped around. We're having people very, very early when they first experience memory loss come to us. And that's been an absolutely wonderful thing because that's really where you can enhance quality of life, is very, very early. And Crossing Bridges is one of our programs where we get the person with dementia and the family care partner together. It's a 6-week program, and it makes a huge difference that people that are experiencing early memory loss can talk to somebody else who's in the same situation that they are. And that's kind of the key to all of this. The memory cafes are popping up all over the place. We were the first in Wisconsin to have a memory cafe. They're very, very popular in Europe. And basically, they're safe places where people can go and hang out. And unfortunately, what happens with this disease is people don't know what to do, and they sort of shy away from you. And so your friends and your contacts that you've been dealing with for years and years, they sort of move away from you when they should be moving closer because you need help. So the memory cafes are places where people go, they hang out, they socialize, the visiting vulture on the shoulder moves in to the cafe and they talk about vultures and birds and all of that. The first one in Dane County was at the Senior Center in Middleton, and in less than a year it outgrew its space and it moved in October to Captain Bill's restaurant. So we take over the restaurant one Friday morning a month. They don't serve lunch, which is great. And I was there for their first birthday party, and it's just a wonderful thing to have everybody come together. Meeting of Minds works on arts and crafts and music. We have Mary Kay Baum on our board. Mary Kay was a Lutheran pastor and also an attorney. She was on the school board, and she came down with early dementia in her late 50s, And she called me, which I was delighted, and she's on our board now. Well, her big thing is taking pictures. She never took a single picture when she was healthy, but there's something about the brain shifts around, and she's taken hundreds and hundreds of pictures, and she's going in the woods out there with her camera, having a great time. And she claims the more time she spends in her woods relaxing with the camera, it improves her ability to communicate. So all of these programs are available here in South Central Wisconsin, and they're all around that key concept of enhancing quality of life. And we have a huge number of volunteers that come into the Alzheimer's Alliance, and I have all these people helping us with these programs. And the key message is it's definitely devastating. You can't minimize the impact of the disease, but you really can enhance quality of life for everybody. Next slide. Okay. This is about us. These are things that you can do. Just a little bit of a commercial that now that we are an independent organization, 100% of all the money we raise stays in Wisconsin, and about 90% of the money we raise is independently raised. We have, most people think, oh, well, the government funds that. Well, unfortunately, the government doesn't really fund it, but we have a small contract with Dane County. Advocacy is a big part of our mission, and I know advocacy is important for many of you. We put a lot of pressure on Congress to up the amount of money for federal research, and if you look at heart disease, cancer, and AIDS, we put billions and billions and billions of dollars into all three of those conditions, and guess what? People are living much longer with cancer, heart disease, and AIDS. Look at the difference in AIDS over the last 15 or 20 years. Unfortunately, we have not been able to get Congress to do the same thing with dementia. We're somewhere around 650 or 700 million for dementia. And we thought when President Reagan died that we would at least get it up to 1 billion. 1 billion is like, you know, a couple of those big aircraft carriers. We haven't done a good enough job. President Obama did increase it somewhat. But our worry is that we need to put more federal money into research so we can figure out a solid cure or something that really, really works for prevention, because as I say, there's so many baby boomers. If we come down with the disease at the same rate as our parents, we have a really terrible problem. So if you want to sign up to be an advocate, we will let you know when important things are happening in Congress. We also work heavily with the state government, and the federal funding for the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center was just up for renewal. And we have a public policy director, and our job was to line up the entire congressional delegation to send a letter with the application saying how important that federal money was to the University of Wisconsin. And we did pretty well. We got it bipartisan. We got a letter from Governor Walker. We wrote it. We had to clarify that they weren't doing stem cell research in the Alzheimer's area, and they're not. So we had a letter from Governor Walker in our application. We had 100% of all the Democrats, and we got three or four congressional Republicans to put a letter in the application, and the It's all peer reviewed. So the score, we just heard about the score about 3 weeks ago. The score is really, really low, which is a good thing. Normally, you know, you want to have a high score. Well, in with these kinds of applications, low is positive. So it's very, very likely that the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UW-Madison will be refunded for another 5 years. And that's really a good thing. When I meet with them, I say, now you just keep, you know, working away at this. One of you is going to figure it out, and you're going to win the Nobel Peace Prize. anyway, we have events, Wine and Roses, we have a golf event, and we have the Seven Walks. We have a little bit of a problem with our public relations because the National Alzheimer's Association is so upset at us for having the temerity to leave the National that they have established a satellite fundraising office with two people in Madison to compete against us. They've done the same thing in Raleigh, North Carolina, and in Tennessee, and in upstate New York. And there isn't that much money in the Madison area, so it's not really about that. It's mostly to send a message to all the other Alzheimer's chapters around the country that you cannot leave the National and be successful. Well, anyway, we are still successful and you can leave the National. So why don't you go to the next slide? So, okay, I guess that's basically it. I have one quote I want to read you before we move into questions. And this is from one of our caregivers and Crossing Bridges participant. And she said, "You are a life raft in a sea of fear, grief, confusion, anger, and guilt. I don't know what I have done without you." So that's whatever. So anyway, does anybody have any questions? Anything I can help with? Yeah. You may not do a complete meal early, but you can certainly design the facility so there's a little kitchen right near where Mrs. Jones is, and you can get her going early. It's usually later. I think my farm background is a little limited, but I think you milk the cows and do all of that, and then you eat. I think I flipped it in my but you can design the facility, and you can make adjustments, and that is the key thing is making those adjustments. So it doesn't have to be bacon and eggs and sausage and all of that, but you can get her started on nutrition if you've got a kitchen. When we built Badger Prairie, there's little kitchens all over the place. Exactly for that reason. And I should add, and you made me think of this earlier in your announcements, is many people stop visiting because they think the person in the nursing home doesn't recognize them. And that's totally wrong. The person understands, maybe they get a little mixed up, exactly who you might be depending on the day. But it's a warm, friendly person there. And the sense of touch, you have that all the way to the very end. And so we tell everybody, continue doing those regular visits all the way to the end. It also is, it's helpful for the staff at the nursing home, because the staff at the nursing home or the facility, they're changing all the time. And they need to get paid more. And maybe they would be able to stay there longer. But the family can help with the person-centered care. Oh, my mom likes this. She's not into that. And it's, you've just got to replicate as best you can. And the care plan should be written out, and everybody should be able to look at that care plan and see a whole lot of information about Mrs. Jones. And so it's not exactly the full, you're right, it's not exactly the full breakfast, but you can get, you can make it work. A lot of the newer facilities have kind of sunroom concepts, and what's also nice is a lot of times there's a lot of energy and people want to walk. So if you've got a sunroom and you can let them wander around safely indoors, that really helps. That's the most difficult question of all, and it's the hardest thing. Our social workers are pretty good at trying to maybe get her to talk about what she's experiencing, and then depending on what she says, you can very gently try and move her forward, but you have to be exceedingly gentle, and you have to read the facial expressions, and sometimes it's best if it's not one of the kids. Sometimes you can get somebody a little bit removed. You know, the nurse maybe, except everybody is so busy now with healthcare, and it is a real challenge. And if she's not really ready to accept it, there's not a whole lot you can do about that if she won't. So you have to try and make the environment as safe as you possibly can so that what you're worried about doesn't happen. The key prevention, regular exercise, lifetime, but you can pick it up in your 40s. And then very healthy lifestyle as far as what you eat, so that your cholesterol screen is very good. The 3 or 4 numbers, you want to keep the overall cholesterol low and all of that. You want to avoid diabetes and high blood pressure. And diabetes is related to what you eat and how much exercise you get, and high blood pressure can be lessened by regular exercise. So it's interesting how exercise hits almost all of them. And then if you can't control high blood pressure, or I'm on a statin drug. I mean, skinny little me, and I get plenty of exercise, but I have elevated cholesterol, and the doctor finally talked me into going in on a statin drug. And so it's okay to control any of those conditions by medication if you can't do it via lifestyle changes and exercise. And then the other part of it is just staying really active socially. And then when it gets time to retire, you're way young, but if there's a lot of dementia in your family, we don't recommend early retirement unless you have a whole lot of activities and hobbies. And you know, if you've got a lot of that, you can make up for you know, that 40 hours a week that you're working. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. And, I'm gonna give you my card, and we've got a huge library, and I'll ask the social workers tomorrow morning what would be the best book for her. But that's the key thing, where the caregiver gets so stressed out taking care of the person with dementia that they're gonna pre-decease the person with dementia. Then you're really up a tree. You don't have anybody to do anything. And it's a real trick. You can do things like, oh, by the way, we've decided we're bringing in meals. And we're coming in on, you know, you can line up meals from the county. You can do that. Churches can do that. And you don't say, would it be helpful if we brought in meals? Because they're going to say no. You just sort of announce that you're doing it. And by the way, would you like, you know, spaghetti on, or you know, Italian on Tuesdays, or, you know, give them a little bit of a choice, but just sort of announce that you're doing that. You can keep people coming to church by saying, okay, we're going to pick you up. We'll be by, you know, whatever. I'll be doing it on the first Sunday, and you know, Jim over here will be doing it on the second Sunday, and you know, all of that. And you can just kind of, you know, you have to be careful. But if you know, people often say, well, just let me know if I can help you, and they're just not going to let you know. So you just kind of have to kind of move in there a little bit more aggressively and get out of your comfort zone a little bit. We're pretty good at improvising. We'll come up with a neighbor. We'll come up with a former colleague of the person that they knew when they worked. We will use the, there's a whole network in Dane County. There's the focal points, where they're the senior focal points. We'll get in touch with the senior focal point, see if we can come up with a volunteer. We are not fussy. Sometimes people are, I mean, we don't say, oh, but you don't have a, forget it, you can't, you know, we would never do that. We have people coming to the memory cafes by themselves that are early enough yet. Mary Kay is still driving, you know, so it doesn't necessarily mean that you always have to have a partner. I know we do talk a lot about that, but for people that don't have that, we work really, really hard. We have a deaf person and wants to come to a number of our programs, and we lined up a sign language person so she can participate. So we're reasonably creative at making it possible for people. We call that long distance caregiving, and that is a real challenge. Technology is helpful. New York State is helpful too, because there are a lot of Alzheimer's Association chapters in New York State. And even though we're mad at Chicago, we're not mad at all of the chapters. There's a lot of very committed people like us in New York. So we sometimes do the internet searches and can locate, but you probably can kind of do that too, and then become a little bit familiar with what's available. And a lot of what we do is available there. And hopefully, as the baby boom generation ages, and you know, society becomes more knowledgeable about what we need to do to help people, you know, there'll be programs and services available for when they need them. The hardest is rural. That is by far the hardest. And you know, churches become real important in rural. But if you have Lewy body dementia, for instance, the psychotropic drugs are deadly. And we had one of those one time, Dr. Peterson, Kim Peterson. He's a pediatrician, and he was presentation like this, and I mean, you could just see the color go out of his face because they had somebody with Lewy body dementia and they were treating the person with psychotropic medications. We changed the state law. We had somebody die because the doctor put the person on a psychotropic, and there's a black box warning right on the, you know, and the doctor missed it. And so we changed the law. You now have to consult with the family. So it is important, and if you're not, you've got to get a doctor that's knowledgeable about dementia. And if the doctor isn't, well, then you just get a referral. And a lot of primary care doctors that were educated, you know, 30 years ago don't know that much about dementia. And this is Dane County. You can just get yourself referred to somebody that knows more about it. Okay. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, and I opted to take the closing words for myself. Barns burnt down. Now I can see the moon. Zen Master Masahide. My apologies if I got that pronunciation wrong. And so we will extinguish the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we meet again. So thank you all for coming today, and thank you, Paul, for being here. Please extend a hand of friendship to your neighbor, and please join us for coffee, tea, and hot cocoa afterwards.